response to Yerushalayim, and all Tmeim are sent away from the Machne Shechina. Even one who only has a Tumas Maga, Tumas Maga is the lowest level of Tumah. I was Mekabel Tumah Mibachutz, somebody else or something else was Tumah. I came in contact with it, that's called Tumas Maga. So all the Tmeim, even Tumas Maga, are Mishtaleh Chutz L'Machne Shechina. Harabayis only is further out. So Harabayis only one who has a Tumah Hayotzol Migufoy is not permitted to enter. So that applies to Zav Zav and Nidi Aledis and Mitzora. And Yerushalayim only the Mitzora. The Mitzora has the highest level of Tumah. The Rambam points out that it's interesting that we consider a Mitzora HaTumah Hayotzol Migufoy, it's a Tumas Riyo, even though he doesn't become tummy automatically. When a person develops a negat saras, he's not tummy until he's declared as such by a kohen. Kohen has to declare him as tummy, then he becomes tummy. And then the Mishnah says that even after the saras heals and it disappears completely, he's no longer sick, he remains in a state of tumma until he undergoes the procedure of taharas hamitzora. He doesn't become tummy automatically and he doesn't become tohar automatically. You have to have a kohen to declare him as Tomei. So it's a surprising thing that you consider Tumas Mitzvah as a Tumah Yotzal Migufay. And the Rambam points it out, but not only is that the case, we consider the Mitzvah the most chomedic form of Tumah, and he's not permitted to enter even all of Yerushalayim. The Mishnayos tell us he's not permitted to enter. It says in today's Seder, Borad Yeshem, Michutz Lamachna Moshavai. The Rashi says, Michutz L'Sholash Machnas. He's not even allowed to be in. Not only not allowed to be in Yerushalayim, he's not permitted to be in any of the Ayoras Hamakofas Choyma Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun. But that's a Machlekes HaRishonim. If the Mitzora will enter the other Ayoras Hamakofas Choyma Yeshua Ben Nun, aside from Yerushalayim, will he be Loike? Lo Yavol Toch HaMachne, when it says in Parshas Noso, Lo Yavol Toch HaMachne, he's not allowed to come. The Loisese gets Malkus. Boda Yeshev is a mitzvah sase, Mechutz Lamachne Moishovoy, that's a mitzvah sase. So that's a machlokes HaRishonim, whether all the Ayoras Hamakofas Choy Moishe Yeshua Ben Nun have the same din as Yerushalayim with respect to the Mitzora, that if the Mitzora will enter any of the Ayoras Hamakofas Choy, he will be loike, the well considered Machne, Machne Yisrael. Oh no, only Yerushalayim is called the Machne. Boda Yeshev is a mitzvah sase, that he's not, it's an Yisrael sase. If he enters into the Ayoras Hamakofas Choyma, he's in violation of an essay, but he wouldn't be loike. That's a machloike. So we show him on the Mishnayos, how to read the Mishnayos. An Eben Hamanuga, next week said, it talks about a Bayis Hamanuga. So you have an Eben Hamanuga, also has to be removed Michutz Lo'ir. So there the Rash on Mishnayos, Negoim quotes a Tosefta, that you're not permitted to leave an Eben Hamanuga even in Shar Ayoras Sheberetz Yisrael. Not only Ayoras Hamakofas Choy Moshe Yeshua Ben Nun have a higher level than the rest of Eretz Yisrael with respect to different dinim, even Stam cities have a higher level than the farms. Inside the city there's a higher level of Kedushas Haaretz than outside of the cities, and the Eben Hamanuga has to be removed from all the Ayoras in Eretz Yisrael. How do you define an ear? If you define an ear by Mukov Choy Moshe Yeshua Ben Nun, so you understand, had a wall in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. But if it doesn't have to have a wall, all Ayoras and Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha. How do you give a definition of an ear? So the Gemara has, the Mishnayos have an Erechin and an Erevin. The Mishnayos discuss, because Amukav Chayim Moshe Yeshua Ben Nun also is only Ayoras Amukav as Chayim. Let's say there was a farmer in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun and he put a big wall around his farm. That's a Soda Amukav Chayim Moshe Yeshua. That's not an ear Amukav as Chayim. So you have to have a definition for an ear anyway. Even not only for Ayoras Sheinu Mukof Eschaim, even for Ayoras Hamukof Eschaim, you have to work out a definition. So the Gemara has a definition. In Erechin and in Erevin, the Mishnah, you say you have to have a minimum of of two chatzeres. And each chotzer has to have a minimum of two batim. And the chatzeres have to be within a certain closeness to each other. If you have one chotzer in California and one chotzer in New York, doesn't make the whole United States into an ear. You have to have the chatzer, it should either be touching each other, contiguous mamish, or Tosfos says that's not mistabit, to say that the two chatzeres only constitute an ear if they're touching each other. So Tosfos says has to be within some reasonable distance. What's a reasonable distance? So Tosfos says on the level of deraisa, shiva mama v'shirayim. The Mishnais and Erevin talk about 70 amas and a fraction, based on a pasuk in Chumash. So shiva mama v'shirayim, Tosfos thinks is the sheer tziruf of the chatzeres to each other. Then there's another gemara in the first perek in Sanhedrin where the gemara talks about irani dachas. Irani dachas has to have the status of an ear. So the gemara has a machlokes atanaim. What's the minimum population that the irani dachas has to have? It happens that it has a maximum population also, but that's because of hilchos irani dachas. The gemara darshins all the tanaim darshan from the pasuk that you only destroy the whole city, you burn down all the houses, and irani dachas only provided that it's an ear. Velo kfar shouldn't be a little village, has to be a city. And ir velo krach, if it's a gigantic metropolis, then you don't burn down such a gigantic city in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, with respect to irani dachas, there's a maximum population. In all other areas of halacha, there is no maximum population, it's just a minimum population. So the Gemara in the first perek in Sanhedrin has this machlokes atanoim. What is the minimum population? And the Ravid in Hilchas Megillah understands that machlokes atanoim is a machlokes that's relevant in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not only relevant with respect to Hilchas Irani Dachas. The Ravid writes that it's relevant with respect to the Din Derabbanan of Mikra Megillah, that the Takanas Chachamim was three parts. Koremus HaMegillah in normal cities, on Yudalit, by Yoris HaMukof Eschayma, they read the Megillah and Tezvav, in the Kfarim Makdimim V'yoy Maknisa. Those who don't live in a city have a Kula. The Gemara says, after the Churban Baisheni, we don't allow that Kula anymore. But Bizman Baisheni, the whole period of the Baisheni, when they observed Purim, they used to have that Kula. Whoever lives in a Kfar is permitted to be Makdim to the Yoy Maknisa. You can read the Megillah on Sheni V'chamishi, prior to Purim. If Purim didn't fall out on the Sheni V'chamishi, so the Monday or Thursday before it, they would be permitted, there would be Yotzei in the Megillah if they would read the Megillah earlier. So how do you determine whether the person lives in a city or he lives out of a city? What's the definition of a city? If the city doesn't have to have a wall around it, so what's the definition of a city? So the Ravid writes in the Sagas on the Rambam, Rabbi Rat, you have to have this minimum population of 100. He quotes the Gemara in Irani Dachas in the first Perek in Sanhedrin. That's not enough. You have to put the both Gemaras together. You have to have a minimum population of 100 people. Let's say you have an area that they have, in the airport, they have motels. That's not a population of 100. Any given day, they have more than 100 people living there, but they don't live there kavua. So you have to have a minimum population of 100 people living there kavua. So the Mishnah Berurah has a whole machlokes, how long is kavua? Kavua is 30 days, Kavua is Yud Beis Chodesh, Kavua is a season, half a year. So that's a discussion in Mishnah Berurah. You have to have a minimum Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Erevei Tchumen. Erevei Tchumen is a din derabbanan. As big as the ear is, you're not going chutz l'tchum. If it's all an extension of the ear, you're not going chutz l'tchum. And then you're allowed to go michutz l'ir alpay mama. So how do you determine what's called an ear, what's not called an ear? So the Mishnah is that. That's where the Mishnah has the klal, that if you have to have two chatzeres that are near each other, plus, that's not enough. You have to have two chatzeres, plus there should be a minimum population of 100 people who live there kavua. So that's required to be considered a near. So the halacha declares, surprisingly, not only Ayoris HaMekof Eschoy, Moshe Shubanun have a higher level of kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that we know b'negiah to this din of. Thank you very much. That we know b'negiah to the din of Shiluach Tamei Michutz Lamachane, that the Mitzarayim are not Borod Yeshev, you're not allowed to enter any of the Ayoris HaMekof Eschoyma. But the Rash quotes at the Sefta that with respect to the Eben HaMenuga, next week said we're not allowed to bring it in, you have to remove it Michutz Lo Ir, any ear, even if it's an ear Sheinah Mukav Chayma. So the Tanoim understood that all the cities in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the farms in Eretz Yisrael. Very surprising. One might have perhaps thought just the reverse, that in the cities you have all the theaters, you have all the universities, and they teach up your courses, and Batei Zaynus, and everything is going on in the cities. In the farms, you might have thought that the people are holier. They don't have all these Yetzaharas and everything. Abar Ben El HaChumash talks about this, that all the terrible things happen in the cities, and it's better to live on a farm than to live in the city. And nonetheless, the Tanoim learn out from the Psukim that the cities have a higher level of Kedusha than the farms. Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned that his father, Zechon Levracha, thought based on a Loshen HaMishnah in the last Perek in Zvachim. It says that when there was a heter bomis and it was permissible to bring karbonis all over in Eretz Yisrael, so the Mishnah says that karbonis anachol and b'chol orei Yisrael. It doesn't say b'chol Eretz Yisrael. The Mechilta says when there's a heter bomis, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to make a bomber chutz l'oretz. To where in Eretz Yisrael? Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah uses an expression in the last perek in Zvachim that the karbonis anachol and b'chol orei Yisrael. Sounds like only in the cities, not on the farms. That corresponds to what this Rash says about all the cities in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the farms with respect to the din of Eben Hamenuga. It's clear from the Mishnayis, it's Beferish in the Mishnayis, that we have regulations of Sofik Tuma Bishu Sayoch and Sveika Tomei. The Safik Tumah Bishus HaRabim Sveika Tohor, that those klolim do not apply to a Metzora. Whenever there's a person who's a Safik, if he's a Metzora, the Rashi and Chumash quotes, Zos Taras HaMetzora LeTaharo Ole Tamo. So Rashi says, he quotes from the Mishnayis, whenever there's a Safik, whether you should declare Mestami or Tohor, so it says LeTaharo, Ole Tamo, it says LeTaharo first, so Safik you leave him Tohor. And if he's a Vaday Metzora, he's already Huchlat, he already is a Metzora. And it's a suffix whether the Tahara process was done properly or not. So there it says, Letamo, O Letahara, you should leave him in the state of Tumah. That's Mishnais like that. Mishnais in Igraim and Mishnais in Nazir like that. So the Rishonim point out on the Mishnais, you see the Farish that the regular rules of suffix Tumah, Bishu Sayochit, Sveika Tome, Bishu Sarab, Sveika Tohar, do not apply to a Metzora. So one could have said, Alpi Pashtus, that's how the main Avtoach points out. The main Avtoach is a sefer that was written 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, by one of the rabbonim in Europe. It's a running commentary on the Hakdomas HaRambam to say the Taharos. One of the Maskilim wrote years ago that if all we had from the Rambam was his introduction to say the Taharos, we would have known that he was the greatest Goyen among all the Rishayim. Okay, it's nice that the Maskilim figured that out. So this great Rav in Europe wrote a running commentary on the Hakdomas HaRambam to the Pirush HaMishnayis on Taharos. That's called Main Avtoach. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim used to have the Main Avtoach on his desk all the time. He used to use it all the time. So the Main Avtoach gives a wonderful svara to explain why that is certainly so. Why does the klal of Safik Tumah Bishu Sayochet Sveika Tomeh Bishu Sarab Sveika Tor not apply to Mitzora? So he explains as follows. It's based on a thesis with Emar Shah in the first parak in Chulin. So he explains as follows. Usually when a person is a Safik, if I touch the mace, if the person is dead or he's still a Goses, if he's still a Goses, he's not yet Mitame. After he dies, then he is Mitame. Safik, whether a person became other tumas, so the tutsdari hasafik are tohar or tamei. Here, by the mitzora, the tutsdari hasafik are, is he tohar and there's a mitzvah letamoso, or is he tohar and there's no mitzvah letamoso? But the tutsdari hasafik are not tamei versus tohar, because he doesn't become tamei automatically. He only becomes tamei after the psak hakoyin, after the amiras hakoyin. So the main avtach says that that's a good svara to explain why by Mitzora it's not considered a Safik Tumah. It's only a Safik Tumah when the Tutsdari HaSafik are. Is there Tumah or is there Tahara? But here the both Tutsdari HaSafik are Tahar. The only Safik is, do we have a mitzvah to declare him as Tameh? Well, let's say he is already Tameh. We have a Safik. Do we have a mitzvah to go through the process of declaring him as Tahar? Making him Tahar. So the Tutsdari HaSafik are, is he Tameh with a mitzvah of Tahara or is he Tameh without a mitzvah of Tahara? That's not called the Safik Tumah. Safik Tumah is when the Tutsdari HaSafik are Tohar / Tameh. So that's one opinion in Tosis. The other opinion in Tosis is that the reason why the Mishnais tell us that the Klolei HaPsak of Safik Tumah Bishus HaYochid versus Klolei Safik Tumah Bishus HaRabim So what applied to Mitzorah is not because of a local Svara by Mitzorah, but rather because it doesn't, the Kalali HaPsak don't apply to any Tumas Mago, any Tumas Riyah. By a Nida, by Zava, by a Ledes, by a Zav, also we wouldn't say Safik Tumah Bishu Sayachit Sveika Tomei, Safik Tumah Bishu Sayarabim Sveika Tahar. This is 2 days in Taisus on the first daf in Nida, and in Me'ilah there's a Taisus, and in Baba Kama in the first Perik there's a Machlekes Taisus, and the Sheikh in Kubetzes, and the Sugiv Shilya Shiyotzes on Mikzosa, in the first Perik in Baba Kama, daf Yud Aleph. So this is a big Machlekes HaRishonim, whether the Kloli HaPsak of Safik Tumah Bishus HaYachid versus Bishus HaRabim are restricted only to Tumas Mago. They don't apply at all to Tumas Riyah, to Tumas Yotzam and Begufoy. Oh no, it applies equally to Tumas Riyah as to Tumas Mago. The one and only exception to the rule perhaps is the Mitzor. So that's a Machlekes HaRishonim. When a person is Tomei, in order to become Tohar, he always has to go to Mikveh. After he goes to the Mikveh, so the Psukim require, and last week said Mishmini, that you have to have Harav Shemesh. And in rare cases, even after the Harav Shemesh, that's not sufficient, you have to bring a Korban. And the Havoas HaKorban completes the Tahara process. That's called the Mechusa Kippurim. The Korban is not for the sake of Kapara. It's a little bit of a funny, misleading expression. The person who was Tomei, who went to the Mikvah already, and already had his Harav Shemesh, it's ready after Tzeisak Rechavim, and then he has to bring a korban tomorrow morning. So Kol Zman he doesn't bring the korban, we say he's not permitted to enter the Beis Hamikdash, he's not permitted to eat korbanos. That's called the Mechusa Kippurim. So rather that korban is not bo l'chaper. L'chaper it's not to give atonement. That korban is bo to complete the tahara process. The Gemara has that it's a difference in halacha. The Gemara says, Hakol tzrichim das chutz min mechus v'kapara. That's the Gemara in the Dorim, daf lamed hem at beis. Hakol tzrichim das chutz min mechus v'kipurim. Means when a korban is offered on behalf of somebody, let's say somebody was mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, and he's a very poor man, and his neighbors know that he has to bring a korban chatos, and he can't afford to pay for the korban chatos. So they want to do him a favor. So they bring the korban chatos to the Beis Hamikdash, and they say to the kohen, send the man a letter that the korban chatos has been brought on your behalf. You know, donation has been made on your behalf to Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. So they say, we want to bring the korban chatos. So let's say the fellow said, Harei Alai Shlomim, Harei Alai Oilo. And we know that he didn't bring it yet, and he can't afford to bring it. So how's he ever going to fulfill his neder? So the people in the community raise some money, and they bring the Shlomim and the Oilo. And then they'll tell a kind of Beis Hamikdash, send him a letter that it's been taken care of and he doesn't have to bring another one. He was Yotze already. So the Mishnah says that you're not Yotze. The Mishnayos say in Erechin that you're not Yotze, you have to have Das. And the Gemara in the Dorim Laman Hamid Beis sums it up. Hakol Tzrichim Das. All the Karbonas, Chatos, Osham, Oil, Oshlam, all the Karbonas need Das. Exactly when do you need Das? Do you need Das only Bishas HaKdosha or only Bishas HaKrova or both? So that's a detail issue. It's a major detail. That's a discussion in the Mishnayos in Erechin. When do you need das? Mikra din, you need das on both. Both Bishas HaKdosh and Bishas HaFrosha and Bishas HaKrove. But the Gemara says in Erechin that some, with respect to some of the cases, we would allow Zachon Le'adim Shad B'fonov. We consider it as if he had granted das. But the Gemara says in the Dorm, Chutz M'chusi Kippurim. By M'chusi Kippurim, you don't need any das at all. Let's say a little child became a Mitzorah, and then he was cured. And then they want to go through the Tahara process, and they want to bring the Karbonah. So the child doesn't understand what's going on. He's a little baby, he doesn't understand. A baby who can be one day old can become Tomei Negat Saraz. So if you're going to be Mitar the baby, you have to wait till he becomes older that he should understand what it means that you're bringing a Karbonah on his behalf. Or let's say a little child became a Zava, little baby girl became a Zava. So you're going to say that you can't bring the carbon of the Zava, the carbon of the Zav, to complete the Tara process until a child becomes old enough to understand what it's all about to bring a carbon. And you need their Das at the time of HaKdosha, HaFrosha, HaKorban, and HaKrov, HaKorban. So the Gemara says, no, Chutz M'Chusi Kippur. M'Chusi Kippurim, you can bring the Karbonis without his Das at all. It's a different kind of a carbon. It's like being Toivel in a mikveh. The Halacha says, let's say someone is coming, he fell into a mikveh. He's walking over a bridge, and the bridge collapses and he falls into the river. The river is a kosher mikveh. Sometimes it is kosher, sometimes not kosher. So the Gemara says in Chulin, that's how we paskin, that the tvila, the mikveh, does not need kavana. Tvila in a mikveh needs kavana as a chumra midirabana for truma, for kotchim, for paraduma. That's a chumra midirabana. Mamikir adin deraisa, leaving out all the milos bakoidish, milos achumris, all the chumris midirabanan. The halacha says, strictly speaking, that for tahara purposes, the tefillah da ena tzricha kavana. So the same over here, the bringing of the korban is also a form of tahara. So that's what the Gemara says, that the offering of the mechusi kaparif, so the zavzav and nidi yaled is a mitzairah, doesn't need any das of the bailam. Others can bring the korban on his behalf, and he will become tohar thereby. With respect to what you have these dinims, so last week said that there was a din of a tvil yom. If a person is tameh and he goes to the mikveh, so the tumah is removed. But he still, with respect to some halachas, he remains tameh until Hayr Shemesh, until Tzeis HaKechavim following his tefillah in the mikveh. Even if he waits 25 years before he goes to the mikveh, he still has to wait till Hayr Shemesh after his tevil in the mikveh. You don't say that if he's yotzei the Hayr Shemesh before the tefillah in the mikveh. Someone wrote a sefer years ago, and in the sefer he wrote such a chiddush that you're going to have the Hayr Shemesh before, so they bopped him over the head, and they showed it's the Feirush Mishnayos that you can't do that. The Hayr Shemesh always has to follow the tefillah in the mikveh. So with respect to what do we declare that one who's a tful yom, he didn't yet have the Hayr Shemesh, that he's still considered tamei. So that's the first mishnah in Brachos. The Shosh Hakohanim Nechnasim Lechol B'Chumasim. The Gemara quotes the mishnah Tovah V'Yolah. There are three areas of halacha where we require tahara. The first is for the purpose of eating ma'isa sheni. The pasuk says when you recite vidin ma'isa, you say la biyarta b'mena b'tomei. I didn't consume the ma'isa sheni in a state of tuma. So if the person is one is tomei and he's tovel in the mikveh, even if he didn't yet have harav shemesh, so the mishnah says tovel v'yala. The minute he comes out of the mikveh, oichal b'ma'isa, he's permitted to eat ma'isa sheni. Ma'aser Rishon, you don't have to be tovel in the mikveh. Ma'aser Rishon, you know, the Leviim are permitted to eat it in the state of Tumah also. The Gemara darshens on the Pasuk, it says in the end of Parshas Korach, Achalta Mosa b'chol mokoyim, so the Chazal have a drosha afilu b'beis ha'kvoris. You can even eat the Ma'aser Rishon in b'beis ha'kvoris. Ma'aser Rishon is not the same as Truma G'dayla. Truma G'dayla has to be eaten in the state of Tara. Ma'aser Rishon may be eaten in the state of Tumah. So Ma'aser Sheni is a Pasuk, lo bi'artem menu b'tomei. I have not consumed the Ma'aser Sheni. When he recites the Vidi Meister, Sisi Kachala Shetzi Visoni, so he says, I didn't consume the Meister Sheni in the state of Tumah. So the Mishnah says, Tovah V'yola, the minute the person who is Tomei is Tovah in the Mikveh, he's Tohar with respect to eating Meister Sheni. Oichel B'Meister. But you have to have Hair of Shimsho, Oichel B'Chumah. You have to wait till Har Shemesh to be permitted to eat the Chumah. The Tvilyom is not permitted to eat the Chumah. With respect to which dinim do you require Akrovas Akarbonas, that we say that in five cases, the Zavzava, how many cases? Zavzava, your letters, and Mitzorah, the four cases. The four out of the five Tumah Yotzol Amigufoy, you need, Anita doesn't need any Karbonas. But the other four, Zavzava, your letters, and Mitzorah, Mechusa Kippurim, and Kozman, they didn't bring a Karbon, they're still considered Tumah. With respect to what? So the Gemara says, with respect to entering the Beis Hamikdash, with respect to eating Karbonas, and with respect to hakrovas hakarbonas. Yet these dinim, that if a tful yom, if a tamei eats kodesh, or a tamei enters the Beis HaMikdosh, b'meizid, the punishment is kores. And if he violates it b'shogeg, he has to bring a chatas olah v'yorid. That's in Parshas Vayikra. What if the person is not an outright tamei? He already was tovel in the mikveh, but he didn't yet have harav shemesh, or he had harav shemesh, but he didn't yet Adayim Lahevi Kaparasa, he didn't bring the Korban Mechusa Kippurim yet. So such a person will enter the Beis HaMikdosh, such a person will eat Karbonis, will he be Chayv Koris or not? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivid in Perigimel and Hilchas Bias Mikdosh. The Rambam quotes a source in the Gemara that says explicitly that there's no Koris, and the Raivid quotes another source in the Gemara that says explicitly that there is Koris. So obviously it's a machlokes Satanoi. And it's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivid, which Tani you should paskin like, whether there is chorus or there's no chorus. There is an issue in Rashi, yeah.
In the center of the year, the Gary now could not have did not have tevara, they couldn't bring their korban, so they couldn't go in the mikdash. So the descendants also will have to bring their korban for them, and they also have the same Israel of Yisrael Kapara, that they would have to bring the korban for the
That's what the Rashba in Shabbos quotes from the Rabbeinu Hananel, that if a ger, let's say a ger is mizgayer bizman hazeh, so the Mishnayos say that ger, if he should live so long till they build the third Beis Hamikdash, will be obligated to bring a korban hager. He has to bring an oilo. Either an oilo's behemar, an oilo's oil. He has to bring a korban. He has to bring a korban. Kozman, he doesn't bring a korban. He's not permitted to eat korbanos. He's like a mechusik kippur. So what happens if the ger dies and they still didn't build the Beis Hamikdash, and then he has children, a grandchildren, a great grandchildren, who live to see the Beis Hamikdash built, and he's a descendant. This grandchild is a descendant of gerim who never brought the korban ageris. So the Rashba in Shabbos and Perek Ablez in the Mila quotes from the Rabbeinu Hananel that the descendants will have to bring the korban hager. Means if the mother's if my father was a non-Jew, my mother's Jewish, then I don't have to bring any korbanos at all. But if my mother was a gioris, or my mother's 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 mother, all the way back, the mother was a gioris who never brought the korban hager.
But it would apply all the way through that they didn't bring any korbanos.
Until a korban was brought, so all the descendants who, if their pregnancy preceded the akravas hakorban, so all of their descendants have to bring a korban also.
And they went on the mikdash on Harabayat. Well, not Harabayat, but being the mikdash itself.
Would they be chayv kares? I don't think they're, according to the Ravid, I don't think they're considered tamei. He's not allowed to, I don't know if you're not allowed to enter the, a non-Jew is also permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. I don't think it's an Isar about entering. The Gemara says in Krisis, on Daf Tezem and Aleph, that the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, that the Ger, Kozman, he doesn't bring, Lohevi Kaparas, as long as he doesn't bring the Korban Ager, he's not permitted to eat Korbanos. It doesn't say he's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. He's permitted to enter. He's not allowed to eat Korbanos. That's what the Yosameach has a Chiddush. The one exception to the rule is the Korban Pesach. Because the Mishnayos and Sochem talk about a Ger Shen is Gar Be'erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, is he permitted to participate in Korban Pesach? Or do we make a Chumra Midrabban, and for some reason or another, he has to bring Pesach Sheni? We shouldn't allow him to bring Pesach Rishon. So that's a Machlokes B'Shamay B'Silo. So Rav Meir Simcha points out that the Mishnah never says the fellow was Nizgar in Erev Pesach. It doesn't say that he brought the Korban Ager. It sounds like we permit a discussion. We permit him to eat the Korban Pesach even though he never brought the Korban Ager. So he has a fantastic Chiddush that others later on elaborated upon, that it would appear that the Korban Pesach itself can serve as the Korban Hageris. Because the original Korban Pesach, Mitzrayim, says Mishchu Kolachem Mishchu Idechem Yavodazar. So the original Korban Pesach is the Korban Hageris. And every year also, we assume we treat the Korban Pesach that we bring as if it's also a Korban Hageris. As if we are all renewing our Hageris. Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Tazria quotes an expression from the Gemara that there's a concept of a Tvul Yom Aruch. Normally a person goes to mikveh today and it has Har Shemesh tonight. So from the time he's tovel in the mikveh at 11:20 in the morning until Tzeisa Kochavim is quarter to eight, or 10 to 8 or something like that. So he's considered a Tvul Yom. Then when it comes Har Shemesh, the Tzeisa Kochavim, so he's no longer a Tvul Yom. We have a concept of a Tvul Yom Aruch. The Oledes, if she has a baby boy, she's Tameya for 7 days, she goes to Mikvah, she becomes Tahora. She's Tahora, she's permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni. Or if she gives birth to a baby girl, she's Tameya for 14 days, then she'll go to Mikvah, she'll be Tahora, she's permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni then. But she has to have Har HaShemesh in order to eat Truma. If she's an Eishes Koyim, and she wants to eat Truma, she has to have Har HaShemesh. So the Har HaShemesh, Rashi points out a Chumash, that Mishnah is like that, is not the Har HaShemesh of that night, the night of the eighth day. She was tovel in the mikveh the night after the first 7 days. She has to wait till Har HaShemesh the night of the eighth day. He says, no, she's a Tvul Yom Aruch. The Har HaShemesh is going to be the end of the 40 days or the end of the 80 days. She's not permitted to eat Chuma until the end of the 40 days, till the end of the Homolos. That's called a Tvul Yom Aruch. That's an unusual case. And then she has to bring the carbon yoledus on the morning of the, not earlier than the morning of the 41st day, and not earlier than the morning of the 81st day, in order to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdosh, in order to be permitted to eat carbonus, so you have to bring the carbon. Kolzman, she doesn't bring the carbon, she's in Mechus HaKippurim. The Gemara says in Krisus, what if a woman, let's say, had 9 babies, and she never brought any carbonus? Let's say there was no Beis HaMikdosh. Then they bring the Beis HaMikdosh, and everybody goes to mikveh. Fine, goes to mikveh, but she has to bring the karbanos in order that she should be able to eat the korban pesach, in order she should be able to enter the Beis HaMikdosh, she'd eat karbanos. So the Gemara says, as soon as she's obligated to bring 9 sets of karbanos, but as soon as she brings the first karban, she's already tahira, she's permitted to eat kotshim, permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdosh, the hashar alei achoiva. The other 8 sets of karbanos is a mitzvah that she has to bring. But it's not mi'akev. And the Gemara gives to explain, to understand this din, the Gemara gives a mashal. Let's have a person on 10 different days touch 10 different nevelas. He touches a sheretz, touches a nevela. So he's tamei, he became tamei 10 times. And then later on he decides he wants to be tovel in the mikveh. Would the halacha require she dip in the mikveh 10 times? No, the Gemara says he's tovel in the mikveh once, that removes all the tumors that you have. There are 10 reasons why you became tummy. You became tummy on 10 different occasions, but all you have to do is tovel in the mikveh once. So here the korban mechus kippurim that the yoledus brings, and the same for the zav, the yoledus and the tzorah, the korban that they bring is a mitzvah to bring. So she had 9 babies, she has to bring 9 sets of korbanos. But the halacha, that aspect of the korban yoledus, that it's a mechus kippurim, that's like tefillah in a mikveh. So the Gemara said, that's like to be the mikveh. If she falls into a mikveh without being aware, if someone pushes her in the mikveh without her understanding it, she'll become Torah also. So if someone brings the karbonis on her behalf, she'll become Torah, the Gemara says. Mechus HaKippurim don't need da. So the Gemara says the same thing. If she had many, if she had 10 ledos, she only has to bring 1 set of karbonis, and then all of the tumors removed. V'ashar alei chayva. The other sets of karbonis she'll be obligated to bring. What if the woman had gave birth to a Suffolk baby? How is that possible, a Suffolk baby? The deal is that a Yoledus is obligated to bring a carbon even if the baby is a Nefel, even if it's a stillborn. But it has to be a minimum of a 40-day pregnancy. Before 40 days, after this, a few days after 40 days, not like 42, 43 days. Less than 40 days for sure now. It's a little bit more than 40 days. There are pictures, if you look in when you go to the doctor's office, when you'll be married and you have babies, you bring the baby to the doctor's office for checkups, and they have big books, and they show you what the fetus looks like at every stage. So when it's 42 or 43 days old, the fetus already has the shape of a human being. So that's the halacha, that's called Tzuras HaVladnika. So if the baby dies before the 40 days, before the Tzuras HaVladnika, so then the halacha considers it Maya Bialma. There's no tumas mace. it's not a mace. There's no tumas mace and there's no tumas yoledus. But if the fetus dies after 40 days, it's so big, it's only an inch by an inch. It's a very teeny weeny thing. And the picture that they show you is magnified many times over. So if it has the tzuras avlad already, that is considered a fetus. Then if it comes out later, it has a tumas mace. And the woman will be yoledus. The woman will have a tumas yoledus. It's hard. It's impossible to tell. It's such a tiny thing. You can't tell if it's a zohar and a keva. So you have to go to chumra in both directions. So she has to have. The Mishnah says she has to have 14 days yimei tuma. But you don't give her the 66 days yimei tahara. Maybe it was only a baby boy. She's only entitled to yimei tahara till the end of 40 days. So you already have to take off 14 from the 40 days. So you're not going to have any more 33. So you only have, 33 minus 7 is 26. So you're going to have 14 Yimei Tuma and 26 Yimei Tahara. And then the next 40 days is going to be a Suffolk, whether it's Yimei Tohar or not, because she had a Suffolk Zacha, a Suffolk Nekev. So well, let's say a woman gave birth to a Suffolk Vlad. She doesn't know whether it was Memyo, was it before Memyo? She doesn't know when she became pregnant. How does she know exactly? And she doesn't have the little fetus. If she has the tiny little thing, so she'll show it to a doctor, to an expert, and they'll examine it. The Rishonim say that Bismanaza ain't on a bikim. We're not such bikim that we should be able to determine whether they had a tzuras avlad. In the days of the Gemara, they were bikim. They were able to ascertain whether it had a tzuras of vlad or not. But it's not too easy. So let's say the woman has such a vlad. So would you say, so misafik deraisa lechumra, we should say that she ought to bring the karbonis. The problem is that one of the karbonis that she brings is achatos, and one is an olo. So an olo, you can bring an olo, but then they're in a dover. So that's no problem. Let her bring the oil ala safik. If it's a vlad, so then I'm mechuyev to bring the carbon your lettuce. And if it wasn't a vlad, if it's ruachi pilo, it wasn't a mem yom, it wasn't a pregnancy of more than mem yom, so she can bring the oil as your lettuce as an adova. That's not a problem. But how can she bring the chatos? A chatos is not bo ben edem and adova. So what are you going to do with the chatos? So the Mishnayos tell us that if the woman has a suffix vlad, the only way to solve the problem of bringing the karbonis, if she wants to bring the karbonis, because man, she doesn't bring the karbonis, she's going to remain in Mechusi Kippurim for the rest of her life. So she'll never be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, she'll never be able to eat Korban Pesach, never be able to eat any karbonis. So the Mishnah gives you an Eitzah. The din is that the karbonis hayoledis are an oil of a yoreid. It means if she can afford it, she brings a chatas dehema and an oil of soif. And if she can't afford it, she brings a chatas soif and an oil of soif. So true, the chatas behema is not bo ala tanai, but there is a parsha, there is a pasuk in Chumash that there exists an institution of chatas soif abo ala sofi. So if the woman is an ashira, this is not an eitzah. But if the woman is an aniya, she simply can't afford to pay for a chatas behema. She's so poor, so then there's an eitzah. She's able to, we will permit her to bring the chatas oif habo ala safik. It's learned out from psukim. The reason why is because there is no haktori, you only have zrika. There is no haktori seymurim. And an oil asoif, you burn everything. And a chatas oif, you don't burn anything on the mizbeach. So that's why the pasuk tells us that there's a drasha from a pasuk that there exists such an institution as chatas oif habo ala safik. Yeah, but this solution is only good for an aniyah. So a woman can't afford to bring the chatas behema. What if the woman is an ashira? If an ashira brings a korban ani, he's not yoytze even b'di'evit. So then the Mishnah tells us an eitzah. Under the circumstances, let her be mafker all of her assets. Shaila, whether the husband has to mafker his assets also. Let's say the husband is a multimillionaire, the wife doesn't have a penny to her name. Is the wife obligated? She has a baby. But the husband is mechuyev to bring the korbanos on behalf of the wife. So do we say that since the husband is obligated to bring the korbanos on behalf of his wife, and he is wealthy, so he has to bring korbanos ashir? Or do you say, no, but the wife doesn't have any assets to her name. All the money is in the husband's name, so maybe the husband is permitted to bring a korban ani on behalf of his wife. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. In the Dorim, also on Daf Lamed Vav. Discussion in Tanoim, in the Toras Kohanim, and the Psukim. So the Gemara says, if you hold like that, Tana, then you'll have to have the husband and the wife should be mafkir all of their assets. They have to hold their breath and hope that no one's going to be zoicha in all of their nechas. And then quickly bring the korban oni to the Beis HaMikdash, achat tosayif habol asafik, then coin it back all of their assets. Otherwise she won't be able to become tohar. Otherwise she'll remain asafik mechusi kippurim for the rest of her life. There is a contradiction between two comments that Rashi makes on the Gemara. One Rashi is in the middle of Saita, the other Rashi is in Ha'or V'Aretiv, in the end of Chulin. There's a Sefer Migdash David who points out this contradiction in the Rashi. Migdash David was a Sefer written right before the Second World War by Rab David Akiva Rappaport. He learned in the Slabotka Kolom. And they started learning Kachin. That was a new thing then. Chavetz Chaim encouraged everybody. Chavetz Chaim said, he sees Mashiach is coming, we're going to have to build a Beis HaMikdash, we have to start learning Kachim. So he encouraged everyone to learn Seder Kachim. And he wrote the Likutei Halachos. Chavetz Chaim wrote a riff. Like the riff is a kitzur of Masech HaShabbos. And of all the Masechtas that Halach Lamaisa, the riff didn't write on Kachim. So the Chavetz Chaim wrote, like Hilchas HaRiff, so he calls it Likutei Halachos. You shouldn't think that it's by the riff, it's by me. It's by the Chavetz Chaim. So he calls it Likutei Halachos, and he reprinted Achraidim on Kachim, encouraged everybody to learn. So in Slabotka Kolo, they learned Kachim. So the klal, the rule in the Kolo was that all of the boys who learned in the Kolo have to write the Chidushim Biksav and publish. So the first time they learned Kachim, the first time, second time, they didn't really know what was going on. They had no understanding of how to put all the things together. And then finally, after breaking the heads, and reviewing, they finally started to figure out what's going on. So this Rav David Akiva Rappaport happened to be a descendant of Rabbi Akiva Eger. That's why he was named Akiva. And when he was young, he put out a Sefer Tzemach David. Tzemach David is Ha'oris on Shubas Rabbi Akiva Eger. So then when he learned in the Kodim on Slabodki, he writes in the introduction to the Sefer, the rule was that they have to write what they are Mechadesh. So he says the first couple of times they learned Kodshman, they didn't understand one word what was going on. They couldn't figure out how all the things get together, how you piece all the pieces together. And finally, after covering all the Masechtas a few times, he started to understand it, and he wrote all these essays, like encyclopedic essays. He's going to talk about Haktoris Eimurim, he's going to talk about Zerikas Hadam, he's going to talk about Hadlokas HaMenorah. And he quotes everything that he's aware of, all the Yediyas, Bikiyas, Rishayim and Achrayim and Shvera Rambams and Terutzim and suggestions and Rabbeinu Gershons and everything. It's a fantastic work. It's Moiridik. Everybody uses this Migdash David. The Migdash David is on Kotshim, then he wrote on Taras, then he wrote on Zeroyim. And the yeshivas, they use it all over. Everybody got this Torah from him. He was a famous in Europe. Rabbi Chana Vassaman had never met him. He just saw his Sefer Tzemach David, the Haoris on Shuvas Rabbi Kivega. So he sent him a letter. He invited him to say a shir in Baranovich in his yeshiva. I think he said the shir above Rabbi Chana Vassaman. So when he came to Baranovich, they were surprised to see that, first of all, he was single. A single guy's going to be a Rebbe in yeshiva. It looks a little funny. He was stuck. And then, number two, they were surprised to find out that he was a terrible stutterer. He wrote beautifully, but he couldn't speak well. The students couldn't understand one word that he was talking about. So Rabbi Chana was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Oizer. They were married to two sisters. They married the daughters of the Shabal Rav. He was a rabbi in Shabal. Rabbi Meir Atlas. Shabal was a little village in Lithuania. A famous village, always had famous Talmid HaChachamim. So they were Rabbi Chaim Oizer and Rabbi Chana Vassaman were both brothers-in-law. Rabbi Chaim Oizer was the big genius. He was the poisek. He was the big politician. So Rabbi Chana asked him, what should I do? I hired this guy, gave him a contract. And now it comes out that he's single, and it comes out that he can't speak clearly. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer said, single, Mestama, he'll get married. So that's a mumayver. And he said, the stuttering, Mestama, they'll get used to it after a while. So the Talmidim say that it took him around a year till he understood what language he was speaking. So everyone came to learn by him. It took him a long time to understand. Anyway, so he points out in this in the Sefer Migdash David, he points out this contradiction between the two Rashis. One Rashi is in the middle of Saito, and the other Rashi in the end of Chulin, Perkei Avot Raited. This din of Hai Rav Shemesh, that until Hai Rav Shemesh, you're not permitted to eat Truma. So one place Rashi writes that's only the person who's Tomei is not permitted to eat Truma until he has Hai Rav Shemesh. But let's say you were Tevel a Kli Tomei, and it's not a question of the Kli eating Truma, it's just a question of putting Truma in the Kli. So what are you going to say, that the Kli is a Tvul Yom, so it's going to touch the Truma, it's going to pass on the Truma? So one place Rashi writes that's only a Chumra Midirabbanan. That if a Tvul Yom, a person is a Tvul Yom, touches Truma, that he passes it, that's only a Chumra Midirabbanan. In our Torah, the only din is that a Tvul Yom is not permitted to eat Truma. And the other place Rashi writes that is impossible to say such a thing, because the Pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, explicitly, it says if you have a Kli which is Tomei, B'mayim yuvo v'tomei ad ho'erev v'toher. So here it says, Hanoisias nivlosam, Yichabez begodov v'tomei ad ho'erev. So there it goes on a person who's tomei v'tomei ad ho'erev. But it says it regarding a kli also. If you have a kli that is tomei, B'mayim yuvo v'tomei ad ho'erev. So it says, Beferish in the Chumash, the kli is tomei ad ho'erev. You need harshemish for what? Not for eating the truma. The kli doesn't eat truma, obviously for touching truma. So the Rashi in the other place, I forgot which one. Rashi in the one place writes, he can't say the way he wrote in the other Masechta. It's an explicit pasuk in Parsha Shmini. They're both minatur. That a tvulyom, a person is a tvulyom, is forbidden from eating. Truma is a pasuk. And a kli which is a tvulyom, a person is a tvulyom, who touches truma, passes the truma. That's also a furish pasuk in Chumash. In Maseches Nida, there's one perek that's entitled Perek Yotzei Dofen. So the parak begins with a machlekes of lezer nachachamim. If a woman has a cesarean delivery, is that called a leda? Does she have yimei tumah v'tahara or not? So we paskin against Reb Lezer. Mar says we rarely paskin like Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer shamotihu. Reb Lezer was from the Beis Shammai. We rarely follow his opinion. Mar says in the first parak in Nida, there are only four cases where we paskin like Reb Lezer. So we paskin that a yotzei doifen, a woman has a cesarean delivery, doesn't have yimei tumah, doesn't have yimei tahara, and is not obligated to bring the korban at the end of the malos. So the Gemara, that's how we paskin. So the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, in the middle of Perek Ablezer de Mila, has a machloikis amaraim. What about if it's a baby boy, is he nima l'shmaina or not? Because the pasuk says, abayom hashmini imo b'sara alosoi, together with the yimei tumah v'yimei tahara in the hakrovas hakarbonis. So it sounds a little bit like it's a package deal. Maybe yeah, maybe no. So that's a machloikis amaraim, and that's treated like a sveik edina, whether a yotze daifen is nima l'shmaina. According to one opinion in the Gemara, he can be mal the baby the same day that he's born. And if the Shmini turns out to be Shabbos, if the cesarean delivery was on Shabbos, Yom HaShmini turns out to be Shabbos, it wouldn't be Deicha Shabbos. If there's no din of Shmini, the halach is that only Mila Bizmana is Deicha Shabbos. Mila Bizmana means if you require Shmini. If you are like the other opinion, like the one opinion in the Gemara, that a Yotze Deifen, Zeno Nimo LaShmini, so there is no din of Mila Bizman. You can do the Mila tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, do whatever you want. There's no halacha that has to be done on Shmini. So it wouldn't be Deicha Shabbos. So Misafik, there's a Sveikah Adina had a Paskin. So Misafik, we go, the Rishonim said, we go the Chumra in both directions. So we don't do the Mila right away, we wait till the Yom HaShmini. But if it turns out that the Yom HaShmini was Shabbos because the cesarean delivery was on a Shabbos, then we would not do the Mila until Sunday. We would postpone the Mila till the Yom HaShi. Same thing if Shmini would be on Yontif. Let's say a cesarean delivery is done a week before Yontif. So also, you only allow a Mila. Mila is a Malacha. You only permit a Mila on Yontif if it's a Mila Bizmana. If it's a Mila Shalai Bizmana or a Safik Mila Bizmana. Safik Mila Shalai Bizmana is not Dech Yontif. Yontif Sheni Shal Golias, that's a different story. The Achreid and Paskin and the Pischei Tshuva in Meridea, Hilchas Mila quotes, Yantav Sheni Shal Golias is a machlekes the Rambam in the Rosh, where he is permitted to do a Mila Shalai Bizman. He only says Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. Because in 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Kedusha Achas, it's Yom Arichta we call it. Mark calls it Kedusha Achas. So the Mishnais only talk about second day Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnais were composed in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have any Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. And the Mishnais only speak about second day Rosh Hashanah, you're not permitted to perform a Mila Shalai Bizmana or a Safik Mila Shalai Bizmana. But what if it's not second day of Rosh Hashanah? What if it's second day of Pesach, second day of Shavuos, or Sukkot, or Simchas Torah, or something? Maybe then the Mila Shalai Bizmana is Deichem. So that's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh. So Lamaise, we are Machmir. Shach Paskins, that you should do a Mila Shalai Bizmana on Yantav Sheni, but we don't follow that Shach. Unusual. We usually follow Shach. Here we don't. The common practice is that we don't permit a Mila Shalai Bizman on Yantav Sheni Shal Golias because of Machlek is the Rambam and the Rosh. But if it's a Sofek Mila Bizman, a Mila Shalai Bizman, let's say a baby was a cesarean delivery a week before Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. So the week, let's say the baby was, when is Yantav this time? When is Pesach coming up? Sunday, Monday. So the second day Yantav is Monday. So let's say there's a cesarean delivery. I'm sure there will be many cesarean deliveries the Monday by many Jewish people, Jewish women all over the world. So cesarean delivery the Monday before Pesach. So we would paskin halacha lemaisa that we would perform the Mila on the second day Yontif because that's called a sfek sveka. A suffix, maybe it is a dina Mila bismana. Maybe a yotzei daifen does require Mila bishmini. It's a sveka a dina machloike samaroyim and masecha shabbos. And even if one should assume that a Yotze Deifen doesn't require Shmini, so it's Mila Shalai Bizmana, maybe the din is like the Rambam, that Mila Shalai Bizmana is Deicha Yontav Sheni Shal Golias. So that's what the Poskim say, that would constitute a Svek Svek and you would perform the Bris. Or let's say the same thing, Bein Hashmashas. Let's say a baby is born. Baby is born, when is the first day Yontav? Again, Sunday. So let's say a baby is born the week before Pesach. Beit HaShemesh is going out from Shabbos. As Shabbos is ending, going into Matzoy Shabbos. A baby is born Beit HaShemesh. So you wouldn't allow the bris next Shabbos, the Shabbos HaGadol, you wouldn't permit the bris on Shabbos. Maybe Beit HaShemesh is Laila. Beit HaShemesh is Asafik Yom Safik Laila. Safik Hashecha, Safik Eina Hashecha. So you wouldn't permit the bris to take place on the Shabbos, Aver of Pesach. Maybe the baby was born Balayli. Nor would you permit the Mila on the first day, Yonta, because maybe Beit HaShemesh is Zedinu Ki Yom, and it's a Mila Shalai Bizmana, should have been yesterday on Shabbos. Mila Shalai Bizmana is not Derech Yonta. But what if it would be a different case? What if the baby would be born? I'm sure there'll be a few hundred babies born like this, or a hundred babies born Beit HaShemesh in between, born, not a Yotze Deshem, born a week before Pesach, Sunday evening going into Sunday night. Beit HaShemesh is going between Sunday and Sunday night. So the next week, the Mila can take place on Sunday, because it's a Safek. It's a Safek, maybe it's Tach Zmana. Maybe the baby was born Beit HaShemesh, maybe Beit HaShemesh is Laila. So it's Tach Shmeina. I say, not allowed to do the bris. What about doing the bris on the second day Yom Tov? So there also we paskin that would be Mutta Mitam Sveik Sveika. Because it may be that that's the Mila Bizmana. Maybe Beit HaShemesh is Kelaila. And therefore it's a Mila Bizmana on Monday. I feel in Tim Tzavaymer that the Mila Bizmana would have been on Sunday, on the first day Yom Tov, and maybe the din is like the Ramam, that Mila Shlo Bizmana is Mutta Yom Tov Sheni Shol Gavius.
Is that another Shir Shlom Avir?
No. They don't consider it Dav Shir Shlom Avir. Because they want to fulfill the Mila Bizmana. There's a chance of fulfilling the Mila Bizmana, so they say that you should do it, Dafke. You should do it on the second day Yom Tov. We had a case a few years ago, I'm sure it happens all the time. A woman gave birth to twins. So it was Pesach time, I think. So the first twin was born Beit HaShemesh in such a way that, Sunday going into Monday, Sunday going into Sunday night. And then the second twin was born a few minutes later. It was Vaday Laila already. It was for sure Sunday night. So the second baby who was born, the bris was going to be on Monday, on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. The Shaila is, what about the first baby who was born Beit HaShemesh? So you have to wait till Chol HaMoed. So they have to, because it's a Safek. So they're going to have two parties. They're going to have one party on the second day Yom Tov for the second baby. And then the first baby who was born earlier will have to have his bris on the first day Chol HaMoed. So the rabbi in this community asked me the Shabbos. I told him that they can have both of the bris and on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. That's what it says in the Achrayim. Because that's considered a Svek Sveker. That maybe Mila Shalai Bizmana is Mutam on Yom Tov Sheni. Maybe this is a Mila Bizmana. So this is all based on the Psukim in today's Sefer. Machlokes and Nigemore, whether Ein Imot Meo Leida, whether there's a din of Shmini or not. If there's no din of Shmini, then it's not Deich HaShabbos. If there is a requirement for Shmini, then it is Deich HaShabbos. This malos that the Chumash speaks about, by your Yoledes Zohar, the malos is 40 days. You have 7 days of Yimei Tumah, even if Loi Ruas Adam at all. The Gemara says, even a lady Yaveshta, Rashi quotes. So it never happens. A lady Yaveshta means a dry lady. How can I have a dry lady? The whole embryonic sac rips out from the woman's body. He rips out a whole bucket full of dam comes out. Tons of dam come out. There is no such thing as a lady of Eshta. Rashi writes this from the Gemara. Theoretically, even if there would have been theoretically a lady of Eshta, no drop of dam, the lady itself is metami, the woman. So you have 7 days and 33 days you may tohar. And if it's the Yoledes Nekevi, you have a malos of 80 days. It's 14 days you may tumah and 66 days you may tar. So the Gemara in Masechas Nidah has a machlek is Bishamai and Bisil. This is relevant to Halacha Lamaisa. The Gemara has a machlek, and Mishnayis have a machlek is Bishamai and Bisil. How do you determine when he may tumar up, when he may tara begin? So Bishamai say, Biyomi Tali Rahmana. It's 7 to 33, 14 to 66. Whatever you do, that's it. And Bisil say it's not true. It's a malosa of 40 days, a malosa of 80 days. The woman cannot be tovel until after 7 by a zocher, until after 14 by an akedah. But she doesn't have to be tovel right away. Let's say she'll wait to be tovel after 10 days. So then she has 10 days yimei tuma. All the 10 days are yimei tuma, and she only has 30 days yimei tara. How many days yimei tara there are is biyom yetvila tali rachmana. That's how we paskin like besilum. We don't say that yimei tuma were up after 7 days and she just didn't go to mikveh for 3 days. No, we declare that those are still called yimei tuma. Yimei tuma are not up till biyom yetvila tali rachmana. What's the difference? So the Mishnah has an obscure nafkamina which is not relevant halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh, but the nafkamina that is relevant is what the Rabbeinu Tam came up with. We were discussing the other day that the din is like whenever there's a machlokes abayi v'rava, we always pass them like rava except for yalkakam. The 6 cases the Gemara gives the Rashi Tevis Yudai Lamed Kuf Gimel Mem. And the Rishayim point out that it would appear that already during the lifetime of Abayi v'Rava this was determined, that the halacha is like Abayi b'Yalkagam. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells, in the second parak in Bava Basra, that the Abayi v'Rava, each one had their own yeshiva. And the students were always competing with each other, so they were always trying to convince all the other students to come to their yeshiva. Don't go to learn by him, learn by my Rebbe. So the students of Rava told the other potential students who were going to go to Rabbi Abayi, instead of chewing bones by Abayi, come eat real fat meat by Rava. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara sounds like the cafeteria served better food in Rava's yeshiva than in Abayi's yeshiva. But all the Mefarshim learned that it doesn't mean like that. It doesn't mean that they're saying about how good the food is. Instead of chewing bones, they say, Abayi Shurim are like chewing bones. So why should you have garbage? Why should you hear those lousy shurim by Abayi? Come and learn by Rava. What Rava says is, To achli bisu shmeina. Rava shurim afat vasa. So the Mashor understands like that, that they're not describing the food that was served in the cafeteria, but they're rather describing the shurim. And he says, if you count up the gematria of garmi, instead, ad garmi su garmi, they are by, instead of chewing bones, garmi is bones, so gimel resh mem yud, is the gematria of Yalkagam. And he quotes the Tosfos in Kiddushin that already during the lifetime of Abayi v'Rava, this was already decided. They already took the vote, and it was decided that the din is always like Rava except for Yalkagam. So the question is, what do the letters Yalkagam stand for? So some of them are explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yerushalami Das, that's Beferish, Eitzamim Lamafreyu Hanifso, Mikan Lahabo Hanifso, and Amum Arechem Develis Lahachis, that's Beferish. The lamin is a machlekes Rashi in the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi claims that the lamin is an issue of lechi hoim in me'elov and erevin in the first parak. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He thinks that we should paskan like rova by lechi hoim me'elov, not like abai. And the lamin stands for this issue. Yimele dosa sheiner a lamin for the second word. Usually yud stands for yushlamidas. Yud stands for the first word. Yalkagam, Eid Zaymim, the ayin stands for the first word. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that over here it's Yimei Lei Dosa, the lamin of Lei Dosa, not the Yud. Otherwise it would look again two Yud. One is the Yud Shlami Das, one is Yimei Lei Dosa. So he says the lamin stands for Yimei Lei Dosa Shenarei Behem with the Oilim L'Sfira Zivosa. So he says that there is a Machloikas Abayi V'Rava in the Gemara Nida, in the middle of Nida. Let's say the woman was a Zava before she gave birth to the baby. So she has to have Shiva Nekiva. And the Gaonim say, the Shiltas quotes this, and all the Rishonim quoted from the Shiltas, that Nashi Didan, Kula Nashi Didan Yoldas Bizovnin. The Bizmanas that we machma, we treat every woman who gives birth to a baby as if she's Yoldas Bizovnin, she needs Shiva Nekiva. And I tell her she doesn't need Shiva Nekiva. She goes to Mikveh after the 7 days are up, even if all 7 days there was done. And the Rabbanim were machmer that even a yoledis needs shiva nekim. Kula nashi didan yoldas bezovninu. We treat them all as if the yoledis bezov. So let's say the woman gave birth to a baby, and there was a lot of dam the first 3 days. A bucket, when the baby was born, there was a bucket full of dam in the hospital. And then there's dam up. Let's say after 3 days, it never happens like this. Usually there's dam for a long time. It's dam from the labor. Usually it's not for a long time. So Mar talks about an abstract theoretical case. Let's say all the dam from the labor ends after 3 days, and she gave birth to a baby boy, and she has another 4 days to go, which she may tumor. Well, let's say she gave birth to a baby girl, so she has another 11 days to go. Let's say 3 days went by, and all the dam stops. Now she has another 11 days, because at 14 you make tumah. And all the last 11 days, there's absolutely no dam whatsoever. So it's a machlokes Abaye v'Rabbi, can you kill two birds with one stone? Do those 11 days count as the Shivin Akiyim for Himei? She was a Zava before the baby was born, and she needs Shivin Akiyim. Can you say that those 11 days count as Shivin Akiyim for the Zava and also for Himei Tumasa of the baby who was born? Or no, you have to have separate days. So that's a machlokes Abaye v'Rabbi. And Abaye says, L'chumra, Himei Leidosa She'ein Aroy Behem, and not oilem l'sfira zivos. She has to wait till after you may lay the arap, and then she has to count the shivin akiyim afterwards. The Rabbin and Tam paskins like Abaye. In the Shulchan Aruch it says we don't paskin like Abaye. Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, they don't even quote the Rabbin and Tam as the Yeshomim. It just says we don't paskin like Abaye. The din is you may lay dosa shena rabbim like Rava, like Rashi. Rashi says that the laman of Yalkagam is lechi hoimin me'elov. And it's not Yimei Leidosa, the din is like Rava, that you can superimpose, you can be Oyla Shivin Akim in the middle of the Yimei Leidosa, provided that there's no dam. But Taisus records that during the period of the Balei HaTaisus, Bechol Oreit Sarfas, the Taisus in the first parak increases. Taisus writes, Bechol Oreit Sarfas, all over France, the minig was practiced like the Rabbeinu Tam, that they insisted that Yimei Leidosa, Shein Rebbeim, are not Oyla Mesfira Zivasa, that the Laman of Yalkigam goes on this din of Yoledas. So the Rabbeinu Tam insisted that you have to have shtei tvilas. A woman has a baby, so if you're just going to wait 7 days or 14 days, if it's a baby girl, you're still not finished with Yimei Tumasa. If you would have paskan like Beis Shammai, that B'yom Itali Rachmana, the breakdown between 7 and 33 happens automatically. After the 7 days are up, he made Tumasa Arap and now starts he made Taharasa. That's what Bishamai holds. Biyoy Mitali Rachmana. When the days are up, that's it. But we don't pass like Bishamai. We pass like Bishil. Biyoy Mitali Rachmana. That he made Tumasa Arap until, number one, you have to have 7 or 14 days. Number two, she has to go to the mikveh. Because man, the woman doesn't go to the mikveh, then he made Tumasa still continue. So the Rabbi Natam insisted that all the Yoldos have to go to mikveh twice. You have to have Shtei Tvilas. And that was the practice, B'chol Arei Tzorfas, they quote in the days of the Balei HaTaisus. The woman would go to mikveh after the 7 days were up, or after the 14 days were up. Then she had to go to mikveh a second time after the Shivin Akiyim were up. The mikvahs weren't heated like we have today. They had to sometimes break the ice and be tovel in the snow, and the ice, it was freezing, you can get pneumonia. From going to the mikveh once, Kal v'chomer go to mikveh twice. The woman just had a baby, it's a suffix sakana. So they're trying to figure out how can you figure out an eitzah to get away with one tefillah. So they made the following cheshvan. The machloik is bisham and bisila, whether biyomi tarachmana, biyomi tefillah tarachmana, only applies in the middle of the 40-day malos, middle of the 80-day malos. Bisham I hold, after the 7 days are up, or after the 14 days are up, you may tumar over, and now start you may tara. And bisila hold, that's not true. You may tumi can be 7 and 33, it can be 10 and 30, it can be 20 and 20, it can be 30 and 10, or it can be 39 and 1, but more than 40 it can't be. Let's say you already waited till the end of the 40 days, so we declare all of the 40 days that you made Tumasa. But you don't say till the woman goes to mikveh, it's till you make Tumasa. No, the whole malos is over, the 40 days are up. Beishamay only say within, Beisilal only say within the 40 days of a zachar, within the 80 days of an akeva, within that malos, how many days are you made tumah? How many days are you made tara? So it keeps on shifting. Whenever she's tevil, that's the termination of the made tumah. So minig developed in the days of the Balei HaTaisus, instead of going to mikveh twice, to go to mikveh after the 7 or 14 days to terminate the made tumasa, and then to be able to count shivin akim, and then to go to mikveh after that, to become a teres labayla. So they waited till after the whole 40 or 80 days are up, and then they waited shivin akim, so they won't have to go to mikveh twice. Because it was a sakonis nefoshes, the woman just had a baby and it's freezing. They didn't have warm mikvahs. So that's what the Ramah mentions, that there are places where there's a minhag that a woman has a baby, a yoledes, waits to go to mikvah till after the whole malos is all up. So he says that that's, he quotes the Ramah, that's a minhag from the Karoyim, You shouldn't follow such a minig. The Rambam quotes that the Karoim, Rambam lived in Egypt. So they had their brand of Karoim in Egypt. So the Karoim interpreted Teshev B'dmei Tohara. How do you translate the words? In the 33 days of the 66 days of a Zohar and a Kever respectively, Teshev B'dmei Tohara. How do you translate it? So the tradition has it that the way you translate it is that even if the woman has Riyas Dam in the 33 days of the 66 days, she's Tahara. Even if she has Dam, she's Tahara. The Rambam quotes the Karoim, the Rambam quotes in the text that the Karoim had their own interpretation. Even if the woman has a Dam which has a Mara Tahar, we are Machmir, not that you make them. You're Machmir. Teshev. Teshev means she's Asura Al-Baila. Teshev B'dmei Tahara. Even though it's a Dam Tohar, even though it's a dam with a mara tohar, let's say brown or yellow or mara, which is not metamei, only mara odom or mara shochar is metamei, even if it's a mara tohar, we are machmed that she's asura. So the Rambam says that this started as a minyak ha-karoyim, to wait to go to mikveh. In Egypt it started by the karoyim. To wait, the woman should wait to go to mikveh till after the 40 days are up, or after the 80 days are up, because of a chashash, that she may be having some kind of a Riyas Dam with a Mara Tohar in the last 33 days, in the last 66 days, and she'll become Asura al-Baila. So the Karoim started this. So the Rambam is furious about this minig. Says, you're not allowed to follow such a minig. So the Rambam writes, if you live in a community where they don't have a minig, don't introduce this minig. Because the Rambam attacks it as a minig ha-Karoim. But he says, if you live in a community where they do have the minig, the Rambam says, you should observe it. Because in Western Europe, the Rambam, where the Rambam lived in Egypt, the minig started by the Karoim. But in Western Europe, where the Bali Atesis lived, the minig was started by the Talmidim of the Rabbeinu Tam. For years and years and years they did like this. Instead of requiring shtei tefillas, one tefillah after the seventh day, and then to wait Shemini Kim and have the tefillah shnir to be matal labailo, they said, let's wait till after the whole malos is up, and then wait Shemini Kim, so you'll save the extra tefillah. You'll only have to go to mikveh once. But as I mentioned, by the time you get to the Shulchan Aruch already, Rabbi Natam is not even mentioned. Shulchan Aruch, we paskin against this Rabbi Natam, that we don't accept the Shita of Abai by Yimele Dosa Shinor Abahem, that it's not Oilem L'Sfiris Ivos. We assume Lalocha that Yimele Dosa are Oilem L'Sfiris Ivos. The din of Tzaraz Batim in next week's Sedra only applies in Eretz Yisroel. That says, Eretz Achu Zaskem. And then the Mishnah says also it only applies in a bias that belongs to a Jew in Eretz Yisroel. If the home belongs to a non-Jew, the din of Tzaraz Batim doesn't apply. Unless a Jew purchased the home from a non-Jew. So then the Mishnah says, Teiroi Batila? Okay. So once the Jew purchased it and has a Negat Tzaraz, you have to look at it to see what the din is. And then the Mishnayos teach us that this halacha, why is that so? Because we assume that Tzaraz Batim has to do with special Hashgacha Pratis. Rashi and Chumash quotes, what kind of a din is this Tzaraz Batim? So he says this was a Besura Toiva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Jewish people, that the Nochrim, the Knanim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, right before Yeshua ben Nun came to conquer the land, they hid a lot of their money so the Jews would never find it. So they would never think, how are they going to figure out where the money is hiding in the buildings? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Tzaraz to appear in some of the batim that had to knock it down in order that they should miraculously discover the hidden assets. That's a Rashi quotes from the Gemara. So this was a special Hashgacha min HaShemayim. Tzaraz batim is completely lamayla min HaTeva. It's not something natural. So this is special Hashgacha protes min HaShemayim in Eretz Yisrael for the Jewish people, more so then in Chutz La'aretz. That's how the Maharsha interpreted the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says we don't recite Halal on Purim because it's a Nesha b'Chutz La'aretz. So the Maharsha explains what's the difference between a Nesha b'Eretz Yisrael and a Nesha b'Chutz La'aretz. So he says a Nesha b'Eretz Yisrael, it's shaykh that it should be a Nes Nigla. Chanukah was a Nes Nigla. Purim was a Nes Nista. There's less Hashgacha Protis in Chutz La'aretz than there is in Eretz Yisrael. So this is assumed to be the pshat and the pasuk, that the din of Tzaraz Batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael if the home belongs to a Jew, because then we assume that there's a special Hashgacha Pratis Min HaShemayim, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this house to be knocked down. special reason. So the Mishnah say that this halacha that it only applies if a non-Jew develops a neged tzaras, and none of the dinim of tuma apply to a non-Jew. A yoledes, a zav, a zava, a balkeri, none of those dinim apply. Tumas meisi has. When a non-Jew dies, it's tumas meisi. Question, to what extent is he metami ba'oihel, is he only metami b'magam masa? But he certainly is metami, a meisi is. But kozman that the nachri is alive, he's not mekabel tuma mibachutz, nor does he have any tuma yotzon migufa. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. There is only tuma on such a person who will be able to become tohar from the tuma. And the Psukim say that tvila in a mikveh is only for Jewish people. The non-Jews don't have any tvila. So therefore, the Gemara says on the last parak in Nozir, that's how we know that the non-Jews are not mekabel tuma, because he can only become tameh if you have an opportunity to become tohar from the tuma. It's not possible you should become tohar and remain tameh for the rest of your life, till you drop dead. So since by Nochrim we have a pasuk that they don't have any Tahara process, the mikveh is only mitar for Jewish people, so that's why they don't have tumah. What about beged of a Nochri? Tumas tzaras begodim, and today said, does tzaras begodim only apply to bigdei Yisrael or even to bigdei Nochrim? So the Mishnah say that it's, we learned it out from tzaras batim. They say it's achuz aschem, shalachem. Now that then applies also to tzaras begodim, that if the beged belongs to a nochri, there is no din of tzaras begodim. If a Jew will purchase the beged from a nochri, then the din will apply. Because man, the beged belongs to a non-Jew, then the tzaras begodim does not apply. It's an interesting halacha the Mishnais have. O bashsi oiba erev, if you have a spool of thread that's oimed to be used for the warp or for the woof. You have a crisscross and a beged. That's a shesi v'erev. So not only is the beged makabel, not only does the beged have tumas tzaras begodim, even the spool of thread which I plan to use for the shesi or for the erev, one is thicker than the other. That's the way they used to make it. One of the directions they made thicker than the other. So the spool of thread is also makabel tum. This is an unusual din. You don't find such a din in Kabbalah's tumah. Kalim ha-mekabel tumah, but not a spool of thread is not mekabel tumah. That's why there is a gemara at the end of the first perek in towards the end of the first perek in Sukkah. Not really towards the end of the first perek, in the middle of the first perek. But usually in the yeshivas they never learn the end of the first perek, so that's as far as they go. Around Daf Yud Aleph, Daf Yud Beis or so. So the gemara says that if you have which begodim ha-mekabel tumah, so it says beged semer or beged pishtim. Other cloth is not mekabel tumas tzaras begodim. Only beged semer or beged pishtim. O bashsi bo erev la pishtim la tzomer. The Tanaim have a machlokes regarding tzitzis. Whether a beged by tzitzis, that's chayv in tzitzis menatora, four corner beged, is only menatora yibali chayv if it's semer or pishtim, or what if it's made from cotton, what if it's made for other materials. So that's a machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes harishayim and a shayim and shulchan aruch mechayv in the ramo. I had a paskin whether cotton begodim achayim and atarin sits or only chayim in the rabban. So the Gemara says it's based on this pasuk. Here it says beged semra beged pishtin, and there it says al kantravik dehem the dayroisam at sitzis, and maybe it only applies to semra pishtin, and maybe not so. Maybe it applies to obgoyim. So that's a machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes in shulchan aruch mechayv in the ramo had a paskin. So here there's a Gemara in the middle of the first parak in Sukkah. Tzemer is no good for schach because it's not gidule karka. Tzemer grows on the back of an animal. But pishtim grows, flax grows on bushes. So flax is gidule karka, so that you should be able to use for schach. So the Gemara says, let's say I'll take linen and I'll make a sheet out of it. So once I make a sheet out of it, then it's mekabel tumah. So then if it's mekabel tumah, it's no good for schach. There are three conditions for schach. It has to be gidule karka, tolush, shouldn't be mechuber anymore, should be dov she'ena mekabel tumah. If you have apples and potatoes and pears and oranges, that's mekabel tumah, so that's possible sachech boy. You have to have gidule karka, tolush, and dov she'ena mekabel tumah. So let's say I'll take flax in the original state that it grows on the bush, so I can use it for schach. What if I make a beged out of it, I make a sheet out of it, make a sheet with mekabel tumah, so you can't use it for schach. What if I just made a spool of thread, a si or an erev, of pishtim? So the Gemara says that that's not kosher for schach. So Rashi says the reason why it's not kosher is because it's mekabel tumas tzaras. Because that's what it says in today's sedra. O bashsi, Oba Erev La Pishtim Velat Somer, that the spool of thread of the Shesi, or the spool of thread of the Erev, is also Mekabel Tuma. Mekabel Tuma Tzaras Begodim. It's not Mekabel Tuma Mago. If someone whose tummy will touch it, it won't be Mekabel Tuma Bemago, but it can have the Tumas Tzaras Begodim. So the Rambam does not learn the Gemara like that. The Rambam understood it. The way it says in Shulchan Aruch, the way the Rambam learned. The Rambam learns the Gemara that the psul of the spool of thread for schach is only a psul of the Rabbanim because nishtana, because it doesn't like it, doesn't resemble its original form. When you look at a spool of thread, unless you know on your own, you wouldn't be able to guess that this is gedilah karka. You might have thought that it's some synthetic material came from somewhere else. So whenever you have gidula karka shenishtanu, so the Rambam interprets in the Gemara that that's possible sachich bo midirabbanan. Shenishtanu is possible sachich bo midirabbanan. Why did the Rambam not learn like Rashi that it's dovah hamekabel tuma? After all, it is mekabel tuma tzaras begodin. So the Pnei Yeshua has a beautiful explanation in that Gemara in Sukkim. So he says dovah hamekabel tuma. It means that this thing can be mekabel tumim bebachutz. Let's say you have apples, oranges, potatoes, tomatoes. If an adam tummy touches it, so ochel mamashkim mekabel tumim. Mekabel tumim means it can be safe tumim bebachutz. Over here, if you have a beged, or if you have a spool of thread of shesi or erev, what do you say? It's mekabel tumas tzaras begodim. Mekabel from whom? Mekabel tumim from where? It's not mekabel tumim bebachutz. It can develop tuma. That's a tuma yotza olam igufa. The tuma develops in the semra, the pishtim, in the siyo, the erev. So that's not called a dova hamakabel tuma. By definition, a dova hamakabel tuma means the thing can be makabel tuma mi bachutz. But here, this is not makabel tuma. This can develop into a dova. It can become a dova tuma. So the Pnei Yeshua says anything and everything in the world can become a dova tuma. What are you going to say? Let's say, what do we use for schach? Branches of trees. The branches can also become a davar tamei if you'll use them as a goel of the doifik. The Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that goel of the doifik means a matzeva, and your Mishnah says you can make a matzeva from anything, and that will be have the tumah of goel of the doifik. Just the machlokes hatanoim. What if you made a matzeva from a live behema, a live animal? Does that have tumah's goel of the doifik or not? Then we pass can know. But you can take bamboo branches. You can take any schach that anybody in the world uses. Uses it a matzeva, it'll become a tummy with tumas gola b'doifik. So you should passel up everything in the world. Nothing can serve as chach because it can always serve as gola b'doifik. So Pnei Yeshua says the answer is that's not called mekabel tuma. The gola b'doifik is not mekabel tuma from the mace. The mace is aviyavos and the gola is aviyavos. How can it be if it's mekabel tuma? Should go down a madrega. The answer is no. Gola b'doifik is like a tuma yotzal migufoy. When something is serving the function of a goel of a doifik, it is tamei. It becomes tamei, not that it receives tumah from somewhere else. So the same over here, he says, the shio, the erev, the spool of thread of the warp or the woof, it's not that it's mekabel tumah from something. If it develops a negat saras, it becomes tamei. But not that it's receiving tumah mibachutz. So he taines that that's probably the reason why the Rambam didn't agree with Rashi. That the reason why the spool of thread is pasul min haTorah, Rashi learns, is because it's mekabel tumas negoyim, and the Rambam says only pasul min derabbanan because of the nishtana, because it doesn't look like gedula karka. So he says that's probably the reason why, because when you have the shio, the erev, becomes tamei, it's not called davar hamekabel tuma. Anything in the world can convert to become a davar tuma, but that's not considered kabbalas tuma. Sukkim say that you have to show the negat saras to a koyin, and he should declare whether it's tamei or tohor. The koyin, the Mishnah, say the koyin doesn't have to be so learned, he doesn't have to be so knowledgeable. He can have a non-koyin who knows the dinim tell him what to say. Let's say there's a Yisrael who knows all the halachas. So the Yisrael will tell a koyin, this is a negat saras, declare that it's tamei. The koyin says, okay, have I declared that it's tamei? So the koyin gives the psak, makes it tamei. He can't declare a person as tummy if he's not tummy. He can't do it at will. It has to correspond to reality, it has to correspond to the halacha. And then if the coin declares tummy, it's tummy. But it's not that the declaration is the psak. The psak can be given by a non-Kohen who is a learned individual. The declaration is the act of being metameh. The act of, that's when the tumah begins. It's unclear what if a woman, let's say a woman has a nega tzaras, does she have to go to a male Kohen? Or should we allow the women Kohanos? Women of the world unite. So we should allow the women Kohanos. So there's a little rabbi in Bnei Barak. His name is Kanievsky. So he wrote a sefer 40 years ago where he discusses this. Abchaim Kanievsky. He brings a medrash on this parsha that says that there was a Kohen who lived in Eretz Yisrael, wasn't making a living. And he told his wife he has to go to Chutzlars. He has no choice. He does make a parnasin. So the wife said, but your people always came to ask you about Negat Saras. What's going to happen now if someone comes with a Shaila Negat Saras? I'm going to tell them that you're not here. So he says, I'll teach you the whole Chochmah. So he teaches her the whole story. If they come, you should paskin. Apparently his wife was also Kohenis. So he told his wife, you can paskin all the dinim, so you can declare Tamei Tohar. So he told her all the dinim and this and that and the other thing. And then she started to ask a detail. He said, no, the Rabbanu Shalom created the world in such a way, the Sashka Hashgacha Pratis, that's never going to happen. Never going to have two hairs coming out from the same pore in the skin. So then the wife said to the husband, that's the matter. The wife said, if the Rabbanu Shalom is so careful when he creates the world, and the way he runs the world, so what are you still worried about Parnassah? You're not going to succeed by going to Chutz Loretz either. If the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to have a Parnassah, you'll have the Parnassah. So he decided to stay behind. Fine. So you see from the Medrash that there's such a thing as a Kohenis. Paskening also. They were championing the causes of the women. Okay. That a woman Kohenis. Gemara is a whole discussion. When do you darshin Kohen velo Kohenis? When do you darshin Kohen bafilo Kohenis? When do you say there are many special dinim for Kohanim? So which of the dinim apply to, let's say, pidyon aben? Are you yoytze if you give pidyon aben to a bas Kohen? So that's a machlekes the Rambam in Taisus. Taisus in Kiddushin and Davches. Says that they gave Rav Chiz the Pidyon HaBen money. So Taisus asked the Kasha, they gave Rav Kahana Pidyon HaBen money. So Taisus asked the Kasha, Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. So how did they give him Pidyon HaBen money? So Taisus says, no, because he married a Kohenis. And he took the Pidyon HaBen money on behalf of his wife, not on his own. In other words, a Kohenis can take Pidyon HaBen money even while she's married to a non-Kohen. She can't eat Truma while she's married to a non-Kohen. But she can take Pidyon HaBen money while she's married to a non-Kohen. And you look in the Rambam says, which dinim a Kohenis has the same as the Kohen, which dinim not? The Rambam says a Kohenis cannot take Pidyon HaBen money even if she's single, even if she's not married to anybody. So the Mefarshim on Yerideya point out that it's a machlokes amaraim in the Gemara, in the end of Chulin. Gemara is a whole discussion, which dinim of Kohanim apply to female Kohanos, and which dinim do not apply. So the Gemara has a machlekes amaraim. How do you determine? And it comes out that this machlekes Taisus and the Rambam regarding the Pidyon HaBen really depends on the machlekes amaraim in the Gemara. Anyway, but this one is never discussed. Whether Kohenes can pasken on the Mare Negoim, this was never discussed until 40 years ago. Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote it in his Sefer. The Tur, in his commentary on Chumash, once in a long while quotes from his father, the Rosh. So on Parshas Tazria, he quotes a whopper of a Chiddush from his father about the Hizgiris HaNega Shivas Yomim. We usually assume the Hizgiris HaNega means he locks up the Adam Tomei, and he tells him not to walk around anywhere. So he says, no, Hizgiris HaNega means he puts a bandage on top of the Nega. Hizgiris HaNega, don't say Hizgiris HaMenuga. That's questionable whether that's really correct or not. Is that really what it means? His giras anega, he just put a bandage on top. The pasuk says that the mitzora has to observe certain aspects of hilchas avelus min hatorah. We assume that the obligation to observe avelus when someone dies is only the rabbanon, but over here the obligation to observe avelus on himself is min haTorah. V'hatzurah shebo hanega b'godav yufrumim v'rosh yiyah farua asof am yatav v'tomei tomei yikro. Shailah shiluach hametzora min hamachne. The Mitzvah is not allowed to enter Yerushalayim where all Ayaris HaMakaf is Chayma. Is that because of Kedushas HaMachne? Or is that because it's a contagious disease? Or is that because it's Avelos? So Rashi learns the third way. Rashi learns more out of Sufik whether the Avelos is not observed on Yontif, regular Avelos is not observed on Yontif. Gemara says, because it's a tarta de sasri, Yontif is Simcha and Avelos is the opposite of Simcha. The Gemara has a suffix. What about Mitzora? Ma'ushinak tzarata baregel. Does the Mitzora have to observe his Avelos on Yontif and on Chalamayit? So which aspect? So the Pashab Shat, Roshiyah Farua, Valsafam Yatab, God of you, Farumim, Roshiyah Farua, these are the laws of Avelos. So Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi says the Gemara Safik is that maybe on Yamim Taivim the Mitzvah is permitted to enter Yerushalayim. So the Ritva disagrees with Rashi. What do you mean? Enter Yerushalayim is because of Tumas HaMachne. He's still Mitzvah. No one's going to say that the Mitzvah is not Mitami on Regal. Just going to say there's no Avelos of Mitzvah on Regal. But he's still a Mitzvah. So obviously Rashi thinks that the Shiluach HaMitzvah Min HaMachne is an aspect of Avelos of the Mitzvah. And that's where the Gemara had a Sufi. Gemara comes to the conclusion that he is Noik Tzarata Beregel, that he does observe the Avelis. This is Avelis Deraisa. He does observe it Beregel. But it's interesting that Rashi understood in the Gemara that the Sufi went on Lishtaleh Chutz Lamachna. Balabatim usually assume that the reason why the Mitzvah is Lishtaleh Chutz Lasholosh Machnas is because it's a contagious disease. That's why. So what Shech to say that? Beregel, Beregel Faket, everybody comes to Yerushalayim. And Sholosh Regal, for sure you shouldn't allow the Mitzvah to enter Yerushalayim. He's going to make everybody sick. So apparently Rashi assumes not so. Apparently Ritva also assumes not so. Truth in that is probably not a contagious disease. They say it has nothing to do with leprosy. Years ago they used to think that Tzaras is leprosy, but now they say it has absolutely nothing to do with leprosy. Some kind of a sickness that doesn't correspond to anything B'derech HaTeva. It's not a contagious disease. If you look Tmeimin HaMachna, it's either like the Ritva said because of Tumas HaMachna, or like Rashi said, because of the Nihul Gavelis. But it's an interesting Nihul Gavelis. A Mitzvah is Choshev Kimeis, and he observes Avelis for himself. Normally you have a Nihul Gavelis when somebody dies, so the close relatives observe Avelis over the death of the relative. By Menuda, and by Mitzorah, the person is Choshev Kimeis, and he observes Avelis over his own death. Like they quoted from one of the famous statesmen, no, the reports of my death were, premature reports of my death were highly exaggerated. The guy's still alive. Here the guy's observing Avelis on himself. The Mitzorah and the Menuda, they observe Avelis on themselves. So Chiddush Din, the Torah Tmima has a Chiddush on this passage. The God of you, Ferumim. The Gemara in Moed Katan, in the third parak in Eilam Megachin, the Gemara has all the dinim of Avelos, Avel, and Menuda Mitzora. To what extent does he observe Avelos? To what extent does he observe Avelos? To what extent does he have Avelos? So the Gemara says, what's the din of a Mitzora? Does he have to rip Kriya? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Tanya, we have a brisa that says, B'god of you Ferumim, B'god of you Mekoroi. Toshma. So the Ritva, in his commentary on that Gemara, might quote and ask the Kasha, what kind of a question was that in the first place? Of the famous Shabbosik. Very strange. The Gemara asked, what's the din? They quote Toshma, the Tanya, a Braisa, and the Braisa discovered a Pasuk, a Chumash. How do you raise such a question? What do you write a Braisa for? It's very strange. So the Ritva says, it's Lavdavke. They knew the answer. Everybody knew Chumash. They were talking about Menudin, they were talking about Avelis. So they threw in also about Mitzvah, just to fill in the whole story. But really, there was nothing to discuss. So the Torah Tmima quotes a suggestion that runs as follows. It must be, it's such a good suggestion, it must have appeared somewhere before the days of the Torah Tmima. It's hard to believe that it's his original suggestion. So he has like this, the Gemara says, if a person attends a funeral and he wears an old garment that was torn already from before, he's fooling the living people. They think that he ripped Kriya over the death of his relative, and he's a faker. He ripped Kriya when he went to the Kaislam Arabi. He's wearing an old jacket or an old shirt that was torn already from before. And his Gozalas HaMesim, he's cheating the Mace. He's not fulfilling the mitzvah Kriya. You're not yotze kriya if you ripped the garment before. You have to rip kriya to shame this person who died. So the Torah Tmima suggests maybe that was the Gemara Sofik. Mitzora mahu bikriya. Is a mitzora obligated to rip kriya? So the answer was no. He's not obligated to rip kriya. Toshma, the Tanya, the God of Yuvrum, Elamit, the God of Yu Mikuroyim. There's no need for him to rip kriya. As long as he is a beggar karua, could be the beggar is karua by accident, could be his karua, someone else ripped kriya on the beggar, for a relative who died. As long as the mitzvah wears begodim, mikuroim, the god of Yihyu Frumim. He should wear begodim mikuroim, but there's taka no obligation on his part to rip the beggar l'shem saras. That's an interesting chiddush. Got to check to see if anybody else discusses the topic, whether they agree or they disagree. The Gemara says in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitz and Yevamos that the Beged Hamanuga is also Bahano, and it's Ton Sreifa. It says V'sorof is HaBeged because it's Ton Sreifa. Therefore, the Gemara says Ki Toisei Mechte Shiura. Whenever you'll need a shear, so it's considered as if it doesn't have a shear. So the Gemara says, but if you have a sandal Hamuzgar? A sandal hamuchlot, you want in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza, they talk about Chalitza. So the Tzaras Begodim can be in a Beged Shalor, it says, either Tzemer Pishtim or Or. So let's say you have a sandal Shal Chalitza, Shal Or, and it's a sandal hamuchlot, it was declared as Tomei Muchlot, and it's a mitzvah to burn it, and I want to use it for Chalitza, and then we're going to burn it. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes, is it good? Maybe I should say Kitoisei Mech Teshur. Because it said, Tzaraf is HaBeged, it's on Midlis Reif. So here there's a problem. The Gemara learns out from the word Tzaras Ma'meris, Teinbo Me'era. Me'era is a curse. That's how I know that the Beged is also Ma'ano, because Ma'meris has the connotation of Teinbo Me'era. So here there's a problem. Why did they need a drosha Teinbo Me'era? If it says that you have to burn it, so isn't it self-understood that it's also Ma'ano? The Ramban writes on Psochem in the Mohammeds. It doesn't make sense that Chomish should be Muta Bahano. There's a Machloikas Hatanoim, but the Chomish Pesach is also Mano. Rabbi Yisrael Glili says surprisingly to the other Tanoim, Tamei Alatzmecha, Hey Chomish Pesach also Bahano Kol Shiva. I never heard of such a thing. The Chomish is also Bahano. We assume the Chomish is also Bahano. So the Ramban writes, of course Chomish is also Bahano. What does the Torah say Tashbisu? What does the Torah say you have to destroy it? If the thing is Muta Bahano, Sachabal Tashchis, why should you destroy it? The fact that it's Ton Ibud Min Oilam is a dead giveaway that the thing is also Bano. The Torah would never command us to destroy something. The Shach to get Ano is Muta Bano. So here also then. So what does the Gemara need a drasha? Tzaras Mamer is Tein Bo Me'erish. Alo Yohanim Yemenu. If it says V'sarof es HaBeged. If you have to burn it. So if you have to burn it, so self-understood that it's also Bano. So that's a problem. It's a problem by Chometz also, because the Tanoim... The Gemara is a whole sugi. How do you know the Chametz B'Pesach is also Bano? Why don't they just say the Ramban Svar? It says Bayom Rishon Tashbisu, you have to destroy the Chametz. It's a dead giveaway that it's also Bano. How can the Torah command us to destroy something if it's Muta Bano? So if the Gemara, both with respect to the Sandal Amuchlot and with respect to Chametz B'Pesach, they both seem to contradict this Ramban. But on the other hand, the Ramban Svar is a very stark Svar. It's a problem. Okay, it's not so difficult. The Mishnah's Negoim is not so difficult, very interesting. And without reading the Mishnah's, you don't really understand what's going on in the Pesuk and the Chumash. But once you do the Mishnah's, everything is a cinch. Chumash is easy. Okay, we have the Bechinas here. Whoever is interested in picking up their manuscript.
I think the Shmira Rashi is the one that's not there, isn't it?
Everyone is an Abba, right? And the normal one is the same.
I was wondering, is it mutter to eat before the Pesach, like meal in the Beis Hamikdash?
Even though you're eating the other thing? Yeah.
Like all the other stuff?
I mean,
really chulam
ba'azara.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.